If you're a believer and you're following the Lord, you're walking in His Word. Folks, this is the heart of understanding if you've truly repented. There is a commitment to obey God, specifically, as we'll see, where you have failed. I want to obey you in everything, but specifically, as we're going to see, there are areas that I have failed that I'm committing to obeying.
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Hey Greg, today we continue our look at the rebuilding of the spiritual walls of the Jews in Nehemiah's time.
Yes, we do, Dave, and as we begin, we'll briefly review what genuine repentance looks like from earlier in chapter 10, and it's not what you think. So turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 31 to 39.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
I was listening to a friend speaking about a ministry that does renewal, renews churches. Basically brings about renewal, and they have theological ways to do so. But as we've been seeing in the book of Nehemiah, renewal or revival comes through the Word of God working in the hearts of those that God has been disciplining and are responding. We see with the Jews in the land that God had allowed His great disciplinary hand to fall on them, and they recognized that all those things, after hearing the Word of God, had come upon them because of their sin. And with that, the Word of God brought about a renewal in their heart by the Spirit of God, where the people of God desire to obey the God of the Word. And that's what we're going to see today. We're going to talk about repentance and how we can know if we've truly repented. You know, when people talk about repentance and confession, you know, we live in that sphere as believers because we sin. But how do we know that we've truly, truly repented? You know, the heart is deceitful, and above all else, right? When we know, we can deceive ourselves. When David was confessing his sin in Psalm 51, he talked about the reality that he wasn't going to be deceitful anymore, in a sense. We see that. And so the reality for us is that we can deceive ourselves and think we're repentant when we're really not. And so how can we know if we have truly repented? Well, we're going to continue to look at the fruit that should be evident in the lives of those who are confessing and repenting. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 31 to 39. And if you've been with us for the book of Nehemiah, you'll know that we've not only seen the rebuilding of the walls and how God helped Nehemiah and the people to accomplish that in 52 days, in spite of all the satanic and evil opposition through men, and how the Lord brought about their success in that. And we've seen also that the people had their spiritual walls torn down, that their lives were in a shambles, that they were living in the context of disobedience. And we were looking at how to be rebuilt spiritually. And we saw that there needed to be a desire to hear the Word of God. There needed to be a desire. And that desire comes often when one is disciplined and starts to respond to the Lord. There's a desire to hear the Word of God, and they called for Ezra, and they heard the Word, and they responded, and they started to obey, and then they fully acknowledged their sins. We see that they acknowledged, this is the reason why we are in this place in the land right now with the Persians over us. We're slaves here in our own land, the land you gave us. This is why, because of our sin and our father's sin. And they acknowledged it. And we saw that that brought about then the fruit of true repentance, which was a decision to stop sinning and to start doing what is right in relationship to the areas in which they had been sinning. Now, you might remember in the end of chapter 9, we have this statement in verse 38. Now, because of all this, we are making an agreement in writing, and on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests. They decided to make an agreement because of all this, because of all the sin. Because of all of our sin and our sin of our fathers, yet in light of your great forgiveness, Lord God, and your promises, we're going to make an agreement to obey you in writing. And they do so. And within that agreement, then the people agree to it also. And we're going to take a look again at this portion. So how can we know if we've truly repented? We're going to look again the fruit that we should have. I want to go back to 9:38, which I just read here, and we're going to read back a little bit and then read into our passage, okay? 9:38, now because of all this, I did tell you to turn your Bibles to Nehemiah, so hopefully you're there, Nehemiah chapter 10, but we're going to back up a little bit. Now because of all this, we're making an agreement in writing, and on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests. Now, on the sealed document were the names of, and then we have here, Nehemiah and the priests and the Levites and the leaders of the people and the rest of the people we'll see in a moment. I'm not going to read all those names. We read them last time. If you want to hear those names, feel free to get that sermon, all right? And then if you go down to verse 28, now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, and all those who had knowledge and understanding are joining with their kinsmen, their nobles, and are taking on themselves a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given through Moses, God's servant, and to keep and observe all the commandments of God our Lord and his ordinances and statutes, and that we will not give our daughters to the peoples of the land or take their daughters for our sons. And now our passage, which continues what we've been looking at. As for the peoples of the land who bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or a holy day. And we will forgo the crops on the seventh year and the extraction of every debt. We also placed ourselves under obligation to contribute yearly 1/3 of a shekel for the service of the house of God, for the showbread, for the continual grain offering, for the continual burnt offering, the Sabbath, the new moon, for the appointed times, for the holy things, and for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and all the work of the house of God. Likewise, we cast lots for the supply of wood among the priests, the Levites, and the people, in order that they might bring it to the house of our God, according to our fathers' households, at fixed times annually, to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law, in order that we might bring the first fruits of the ground and of the first fruits of the fruit of every tree to the house of the Lord annually, and to bring to the house of our God the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle and the firstborn of our herds and our flocks, as it is written in the law, for the priests who are ministering in the house of our God. We will also bring the first of our dough, our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the new wine, and the oil to the priests at the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithe of our ground to the Levites. For the Levites are those who receive the tithes in all the rural towns, and the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithes. And the Levites shall bring up a tenth of the tithes to the house of our God, to the chambers of the storehouse. For the sons of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of the grain, the new wine, and the oil to the chambers. There are the utensils of the sanctuary, the priests who are ministering, the gatekeepers, and the singers. Thus we will not neglect the house of our God. Now there's a lot of stuff there, but it comes down to us, we're going to see this idea of neglecting the house of our God. And as we read through this, I think you probably noticed that term, the house of our God, 9 times, the house of our God. So with that in mind, how do we know if we've genuinely repented? Well, let's back up and come into where we just read right here from where we've been in our last time together. Again, I mentioned after confessing their sins, they made an agreement. Chapter 9, verse 38. They made an agreement to obey. And then they had the names of all the leaders on that document, and we had those names. And then we see in verse 28 that the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of their God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all those who had knowledge and understanding, we see that, are joining with their kinsmen, their nobles, in taking on themselves a curse and an oath. The curse would be obviously the curse that we see in Deuteronomy 28-30, that if we don't obey, let you do what you say, Lord God. We expect you to discipline us this way if we don't do what we say. And then to obey. You know, one thing, when you're humble before the Lord, you recognize, first of all, you deserve what you're getting in your discipline, but you also recognize that if I stray again, I deserve to get it again. I deserve to get what you have said will come upon me. And we think through those things clearly. And then he says, they're joining their kinsmen, and we see that, an agreement to do something. They're taking on an oath, and they're joining to do this. And you remember what we saw? What we saw they were doing, to walk, middle of 29, to walk in God's law, which was given through Moses, God's servant. We're taking on an oath and a curse to obey God, to obey his word, God's law. And then also to live a lifestyle, to walk in his law, to live a lifestyle of obedience to God's word. We're going to walk in his word. You think about it, if you're a believer and you're following the Lord, you're walking in his word. You're thinking about him, you're thinking about his word, you're walking with him, you're walking in his word. And then also notice, after that, end of 29, and to keep and observe all the commandments of God our Lord and his ordinances and statutes. To keep these things, we're going to walk in his law, we're making a commitment to keep his ordinances and statutes. We're going to obey him. And folks, this is the heart of understanding if you've truly repented. There is a commitment to obey God, and specifically, as we'll see, where you have failed. I want to obey you in everything, but specifically, as we're going to see, there are areas that I have failed that I'm committing to obeying in. Now, we looked at the idea of oaths and things like that last time. You can look at that concerning what Jesus says. And is it wrong to make an oath or not? Well, it's wrong to make false oath. It's wrong to make commitments you can't keep, certainly in that sense. But we make commitments all the time, as we make commitments when we buy a house or a car or whatever. We're agreeing to something. And here, they're agreeing, hey, we're going to obey the Lord. And if you're really serious, you're going to step out and actually do the right thing. You know, you're confessing sin and confessing sin, Lord, help me. But you never step out and do the right thing, then you're not really there yet. You see, if you're truly repentant, you're going to step out. There's going to be fruit of repentance. You're going to step out. You see, we've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, through his precious and magnificent promises, 2 Peter chapter 1. As we step out, he enables us by faith to then obey him in what we desire and are committed to do. But you need to make a decision. You know, we decide to sin. You know that we do. We decide to sin. We need to decide to obey. We've been given everything. We know very clearly that his grace is sufficient. His power is perfected in weakness. He will enable us to do so. But it comes on the heels of the renewed mind that then proves what his will is. You know, Paul would tell the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate, you may prove what his will is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The reality is God's word working in the life of a believer who's desiring to do what's right, fully repentant, it's going to manifest in obedience. Remember what we saw in Ephesians. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. You know, it's not simply just an Old Testament thing we're seeing here in Nehemiah. Ephesians 4. And we have here, if you go to verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness, holiness of the truth. And so you renew your heart and mind with the truth of God, and you put on the new man, but therefore that should cause you to behave differently. Therefore, notice what it says, laying aside falsehood. Okay, I'm going to set aside sin. I'm not going to sin. I'm in that area, in the context of a renewed mind and a relationship with the Lord where I'm trusting him. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let that happen. Obey God. Make the commitment. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to give it over to you, Lord. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals steal no longer. That's behavior. Stop stealing. Stop doing it. But rather, the positive side, let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he might have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Stop those unwholesome words, except that which is for edification. It says here, according to the need of the moment, that it might give grace to those who hear. Stop speaking in a way that doesn't give grace to people. Undeserved favor. We need to think about it. These should be convicted. If you're going, oh man, I want to do that, Lord. I'm sorry. I haven't done that. I want to be gracious in my speech towards my spouse, towards my boss, towards my kids. Help me do that. Help me speak graciously. Undeserved speech that's kind and merciful. He says here, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor and slander be put away from you. Get rid of it. Stop it. So there's one thing to say, okay, I've realized this is wrong. God's renewing my heart and mind. I realize it. But it's another thing to actually step out and be committed to stopping those things, to stop doing it. And instead hear from you, and along with all malice, and be kind to one another. Okay, I want to obey you, Lord. I'm going to be kind. Step out in obedience. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And you might say, that's impossible. I can't do it. Yes, you can't do it if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, you can do everything he calls you to do. If you trust him and you step out in obedience, you trust him, he will enable you. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. We do make mistakes. We're going to trip up, but we confess and we have the desire to obey and do what is right. And I mentioned in Colossians chapter 3, and I'll read this for you, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, because we're setting our minds on Christ above, rather than things of the earth. Impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For on account of these things, the wrath of God will come, and in them you once walked, and you were living in them. But now you also put them also aside. So yes, I'm keeping the things above, I'm thinking about the things, but I'm also within that now making choices not to do what God says I shouldn't do, and I'm making choices to do what he says I should do by his power and strength. And so he says here, but now you also put them aside, throw them off, anger, stop being angry, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And we know from Romans chapter 6, we are to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Therefore, since we're freed from sin, we don't have to offer ourselves to sin anymore. In Christ, I am freed from sin. I don't have to offer myself to sin. I can offer myself to him. And as a living sacrifice, I can offer myself to him in obedience. I'm going to obey you, Lord God. I want to obey you, and I trust you to enable me to do this. I believe you are powerful enough to enable me to love my husband or love my wife or to do whatever you've called me to. I believe you are powerful. I trust you. I trust you. And so you got to make the decision, and they made the decision. You see, if you are just a hearer of the word, something is wrong. Your relationship with Christ is not right. You may not know him, okay? But sometimes we become hearers and not doers, even as believers. We hear it, but we don't do it. And we're not committed to doing it. We're not seeing sin rightly. We saw this in terms of how we are to work out our salvation, right? We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for God's at work in us. We're to see sin rightly as God works out his life in us. And so then, we see in the book of James, chapter 1, that therefore, putting aside all malice, verse 21, and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted. Set aside sin, receive the word, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. You see, we're deluding ourselves if we are hearing the word and we're not doing what God says. We're deluding ourselves. And I believe when God has laid his heavy hand on you, like he did with David, like he's done with these Jews, and he has convicted you of sin and you have responded. You're going to be committed in your heart, not in some phony baloney promises, but committed, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to do what's right. But we need to identify those things. We need to identify where we have failed and step out and be determined. Yes, we'll trip up, but be determined to obey the Lord. And guaranteed, Satan's going to tempt you right in those areas right away the minute you're determined now, because you got to trust Christ. You step out on your own. Yes, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to do what I'm going to follow your will and your ways. Well, if I'm not abiding in Christ and walking in him, I'm going to fail quickly. But as I trust him, he's going to enable me. So then, we need to recognize that so often when sin is overwhelming us, it's because we are unwilling to say no and do what is right. We're just unwilling. We're not willing to move past that. And that means we probably haven't been disciplined enough for the pressure to cause us to see, wow, Lord, my life is messed up, or these things are happening because of my sin, and I don't want to do this anymore. I want to trust you, and I want to obey you, and I want to walk in your ways. You know, when we came to faith in Jesus Christ, we were committed. I decided to follow Jesus. We're committed to obeying him. I mentioned the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. The Great Commission is to baptize and teach that they would learn everything that Christ has said. They would obey everything he said. That's what our walk is right now. It's what sanctification is, learning to obey our Lord in those things. But you need to make the choice. You need to make the choice. And if you have, if there's real repentance, there's going to be fruit. And I shared these passages last time, but I want to share them again. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. And here, you know, John the Baptist is doing a baptism of repentance. It means people are coming out and identifying that they're repenting. They're doing it with a visible symbol outwardly. And then the bad guys come. John knows, and inspired by the Spirit, they're not good guys. They're coming out just to fake it. And so he calls them about it. He calls them about this fake repentance. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Matthew 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance." He's saying, if you're going to do this repentance, you're going to do this here, there should be fruit that comes forth. He's going to say, you know why? Because the axe is at the tree. You think your relationship with your father Abraham is going to save you. That's not going to save you at all. You are in deep trouble. And there should be fruit with true, genuine repentance. And then turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. And this is the Apostle Paul after he has shared his testimony with King Agrippa about that Damascus Road salvation experience when Jesus Christ came to him on the road. And we see here, he is going to talk about basically what he is doing in light of that. Acts 26:19.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, we've seen in review that we will not experience renewal and revival in our Christian life until we are fully committed to obeying the Lord.
Yes, Dave, and as we'll see in our next few broadcasts, this commitment to obey will be grounded in a desire to obey the Lord in very specific areas where we've previously failed. Well, are your spiritual walls in shambles and broken down, gates burned? Then you're in the right place. because Nehemiah is just what we need to hear and meditate on. Well, we're out of time, so make plans to join us for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.